Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening. Genesis chapter 21. And I want to read beginning with verse number 9. Amen. Again to our guests, we're so glad that you're here today. And let's remember our services tonight. We're going to be here in the house of the Lord for 6 o'clock prayer, 6:30 service. We're going to have a great time in God tonight. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and also of the son of the bondwoman I will make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, and as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she set over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. I want to look again at verse 19. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. I want you to notice that God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. And I simply want to use as a subject here this morning a well in the wilderness. A well in the wilderness. How many knows that God cares about his people? God cares about every person that's in this room here this morning, and he wants to minister the needs of every individual, no matter how different and how individual the needs are in our lives and the situations are in our lives. God is well aware of that, and he is able to minister to them today. And I want to allow him to do it. Praise the Lord. I come to church today with a heart that is open to God, saying, God, whatever you choose to do in whatever way that you choose to move, I want to be receptive. How many come with a receptive heart to what the Lord wants to do in this house? Let's lift our hands again to him, and let's pray for his anointing and his blessing on the continuation of this service. Jesus, I'm asking you to move in this place. I'm praying, God, for your touch and your help and your guidance in the continuation of this service this morning. Bless your people. Bless each and every individual that is gathered here in this sanctuary. You know their need. You know what they've been praying and seeking you about. And I pray, God, that you would answer and give them direction today. In Jesus' name we pray. And would you clap your hands again to the Lord? Come on, we can do a whole lot better than that. Let's give praise to the Lord. Amen. We're not talking about giving praise to a ball star. We're talking about praise to Jesus. Amen. We're not talking about praise to some star in this world. We're talking about praise to Jesus today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. The more urban that our world becomes, the less that our society is able to really relate to the wilderness and what it really is. But there's something about getting out into the wilderness, and we all, at least the majority of us, have a fascination with it. In fact, it's good at times to get away from the hustle and bustle, get away from the crowds of the city, the traffic lights, the paved streets and the concrete sidewalks, and to escape all of that, everything that is man-made and is synthetic and artificial, and get out into nature and to the things that God has made. And this is good for us. It's commonly why people take a vacation, and many times they leave their air-conditioned homes. They leave all of the amenities of microwave ovens and stoves and all of the things, the comfortable bed, the running water, and they'll take a tent and go out into the wilderness somewhere, out into the woods, and build a campsite and stay there for several days. And as a result, when they leave, they feel refreshed. You wouldn't think leaving the air conditioning and leaving all of the amenities of the home would be refreshing, but it really is. It restores us, and we enjoy going and camping out and getting out in the wilderness, trying to get in touch with things that was created by our Creator and not just the synthetic things of this world, because man's creations have a way of deteriorating. They'll dilapidate with time, and we'll visit their ruins. But the Bible said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." So we learn by this scripture, by observing and looking deeply into God's creation, we are convinced of the reality of God. Even the person that claims to be the most ardent atheist, when they look around and they see all the creation that is around us in this world, when they see the beauty of the rainbow, when they see the awesomeness of a sunset, when they gaze across the ocean and they see the things that God has made, when they see wildlife, it tends to cause them to rethink their philosophy and realize that there really is a God in heaven, because creation itself speaks of him. Amen. And then just the consistency of the way that God made things. This morning, I didn't worry about it. You didn't worry about it. But we just knew that the sun was going to come up. Yesterday evening, we were confident of one thing, if nothing else, and that was the sun was going to set in the west. We just know and we understand, because this is the way that God made it. This is the consistency of things in creation. But there's something about getting out into the wilderness, and that comes from the root word wild, and there's a lot of wild things in the wilderness, a lot of untamed, undomesticated things that is in the wilderness. For instance, wild animals. You go out into the wild and into the wilderness, and there's animals. In our area, not so much, but you go into certain places, and there's things that are predators that man cannot defend themselves against necessarily. And you have to be careful and take precautions. I'll never forget going up into New Brunswick, Canada, to bear hunt. And I'd already been there on one occasion. And so going back this time, these guides, they have pictures that they've taken at the hunting sites. And they can tell you what's coming into the area. And you can know what you're sort of hunting for or what you want to look for. And there was a big 600-pound bear. Now, that's a huge black bear that was in one of these particular sites, and they had pictures of it. The only problem was it was only coming up at night, and it was not lawful to hunt them at night, of course. And so we were trying our best to hope that this thing would make a visit during the day. And they showed pictures of it. And matter of fact, they showed pictures of it growling at other bears, and it was an enormous, very large bear. And I said, that's where I want to hunt. And so I went out and for several days hunted the spot and spent hours out there and to no avail, never seen it come in. And finally he said, well, we're going to do it a little bit different tonight. He said, you're going to, when you leave, you're going to take the attractant that they had with you. And he said, and then we're going to make it come in during daylight hours. And so many times they wouldn't come and get you until well after dark. And I'm telling you, when I say wilderness, you're way out in the wilderness. Any of you that has ever been in New Brunswick, to me that whole province is a wilderness. Everywhere you look, and it's just trees and wilderness and all kinds of wildlife, moose and elk and all kinds of things that are out there. And so after waiting a while, I got a little bit impatient and I went and got down from the stand that I was on, which is not really recommended. And I began to make my way out to the trailhead where they would be coming. They had to drive maybe a couple miles from the main road down on this logging road to get me. So I walked out to the logging road and began to make my way up the logging road. And it was so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And there was all kinds of trees and cover and foliage and as I was making my way through that thick stuff, all of a sudden off to my right, I hear something big. And when I say something big, it was big, you all. And it was moving in those woods, and it was so thick in there. Again, it was dark and it was thick. And I just knew, and all I could see was those pictures of that 600-pound bear that I'd been watching and looking at on that camera. All I could think about is he's coming to the stand there. He's coming to the bait, and I'm between him and it at this point. And he wasn't expecting me, and I wasn't expecting him at that particular time. And it was tearing down all kinds of limbs and small trees trying to get out of there, and I was tearing up the road trying to get up the side of the road. And I thought to myself, this is a wilderness. This is a wild place with wild animals. And you have to be careful when you're in a wilderness. Not only wild animals and wild beasts, but there's also harsh and wild elements that are out in the wilderness. If you're not very careful, many people die every year due to exposure. And sometimes it's because of lack of preparation. The majority of the time, it's because of lack of preparation. Many times you'll read about people in Yosemite that go out on a hike, and when they go out, they do not expect it to be as far of a hike as maybe they thought it was, or as treacherous, and they don't get back before the sun sets, and it gets very cold in the mountains, and as the temperature drops, and they're out there left in the elements. Many times they have to go and rescue those individuals, and there's even those that perish as a result of it. We're going to wait until he sets down. Somebody escort him out. We'll see you. I'm sorry for the distraction. And so people get in those wilderness areas of Yosemite and other national forests that are large and very huge places. And as a result of that, they die of exposure because of their unpreparedness. And so we know that the wilderness is a lost place. That's how we would best identify it. I read a book some time ago about Into the Wild. And it's been a few years back, but there was a young, misguided young man he had been born very privileged and with wealth, and he wanted to go up into Alaska, and he did. And he went across several creeks and rivers and went over into a certain area, and he did not realize because of the snow melt that it would flood and he wouldn't be able to get back to civilization. And so it wasn't long till his food supplies ran out. And as a result of that, as a result of his food supplies running out, he tried to eat various berries and different things in the wild, and he wasn't really educated on it. And he was actually taking in poison. He was taking in berries that were poisonous to his body. And this was blocking any nutrients from coming to him. And he perished. Very sad story. He perished in the wild. He had this desire to go out in the wilderness, but he wasn't prepared for the wilderness. The wilderness is a lost place. And we often relate this spiritually. We sometimes even describe our condition, our spiritual condition, by saying that we are in a wilderness. I'm in a wilderness right now. You hear people describe it that way. Amen. And I want to say that this world is in a wilderness. We are in a wild place as a world, as a nation, as a society. It's not just an American problem, but it's a problem that has encapsulated our world. Everybody is experiencing the treachery of terrorism. Just the other day, we see that in all likelihood another plane goes down because of terrorism. There's dangers in our world. Would you agree with that this morning? The drug problem is not getting better, but it's escalating. Violence in our world. It's been over the last couple of years that we've seen rioting in the streets. We're not talking about some third world country. We're talking about right here in civilized America, where there's all kinds of tension and riots and things going on. Violence is escalating. And then there's the ever threat of nuclear holocaust in our world. And then we've seen the threat of diseases. This world is a wilderness. There was Ebola a couple of years ago, and I was listening to the radio the other day, and they said that really Ebola, even though it's not in the news, it's still very much a threat in our world. And then the Zika virus, the virus that is carried by mosquitoes, and the CDC is doing everything in their power to get ahead of these situations and trying to prevent there from being some kind of pandemic in our world. And so you never know what you will run into or who you will run into or when you will run into it. We're living in a wilderness. We're living in a world that is crazy and that is out of control. And when we read in the Word of God about people being in a wilderness place, when we read about the people of God being in a wilderness condition, often it is that God has allowed them to be there because He's trying to teach them something. He's trying to reveal something to them. And the majority of the time, He's trying to teach them how to trust in Him, to put their faith in Him. When Israel was placed in the wilderness, we know why they had that extended stay in the wilderness, because of their doubt. And so in that 40-year process of being in the wilderness, it's God trying to teach them to entirely depend upon Him and put their trust in Him. It was God that they had to depend upon for their food and their sustenance every day. It was God that they had to depend upon to shield them from the harsh sun that would beat down upon them. It was God that they had to depend upon to keep them warm in that frigid air at night. It was God that they had to depend upon to put shoes on their feet that would not wear out and clothes that would not become tattered. It was God that they had to depend on for every provision in their life. And so God was teaching them that while you're in the wilderness, you're going to have to trust and you're going to have to put your faith in me. Can I tell you that as we live in this world that we call a wilderness, as we journey through this place, as we are journeying towards the promises of God, we're going to have to learn like never before to trust in Jesus, to put our faith in Him, to lean upon God, to pray and to seek the face of God, that He will take care of us, that He will watch over us. I want to tell you, He's a God that you can trust in. He's never let His people down. The psalmist said it this way: I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. God is always going to take care of His people. God is always going to watch out for His own. Oh, I think we ought to give some praise to the Lord. Somebody ought to lift up their voice and thank Him right now. I thank You and praise You and worship You, God. So we understand that living in the wilderness, we're going to have to depend upon God. We're going to have to trust in Him. Amen. We've got to place our faith and our confidence in God. In fact, in that wilderness, if there remained any unbelief or any doubters in the bunch, they did not survive. But God raised up a generation that was born in the desert, that was born in the wilderness, that was born in these harsh conditions, that learned from day one to trust in God, to put their confidence in the Lord. And He said, that's the ones that I'm going to lead into the promised land. That's the ones that I'm going to deliver and bring out of this harsh environment. That's the ones that are going to see My promises fulfilled in their life. And that's still the way it is. That's still the principle of the Word of God. Amen. That when you put your faith and your trust in the Lord, amen, that's the people that God's going to use. That's the people that God's going to fulfill the promises that He has committed to His own. The promises that He has given to us in His Word are going to be fulfilled through those that are willing to trust, that are willing to follow blindly sometimes, that are willing to say, I may not understand the end, but I'm going to stick with the process. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to serve Him with all of my heart. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. For those that trust Him, He will sustain you. For those that trust Him, He will protect you. He not only protected and sustained those children of Israel in the wilderness, but He also caused them to multiply. He caused them to be fruitful even in the wilderness. I'm going to tell you, tough times have never kept the church down. I said problems has never stopped the church from progressing. Amen. This is the most powerful entity in all the world. This is the greatest thing that God's got going in the earth is the church. Amen. When you fight against God's will and the church going forward, you're fighting a losing proposition. It's a losing battle. But if you want to be winner, you ought to get on the side of what God's doing. You better get in the church, because I read about a church that's going to be triumphant. I read about a church that's going to be victorious. I'm reading about a church that's going to come out on top. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at it, the church is going to get stronger. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at it, the church is going to grow and multiply and become greater, because that is God's word, that is God's will, and that is God's promise for the church. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Maybe there's someone here this morning that feels that you're in a wilderness. And wildernesses can be described in different ways. Maybe it's a financial wilderness. And you wonder if there's any way out of the web that you're tangled up in with your finances. And if God can help us and provide for us and strengthen us and guide us through and help us over. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful that God is able, even in the difficulties and the challenges that sometimes we get ourselves into. He's able to help us if we'll start being obedient to His Word. If we'll start living by the principles of His Word, God will bring us out. God will raise us up. God will strengthen us. Can you say praise the Lord? Maybe your wilderness is health situations and health problems in your life, health challenges. There's nothing that sometimes challenges our faith like a health crisis does, because sickness and prolonged sickness has a way of not only affecting you physically, but it affects you in a way when it's prolonged, it begins to challenge your faith and it begins to give way for doubt to come in if you're not careful, and you have to protect yourself that the enemy doesn't steal your faith when you've been fighting and battling physically in your body. Sometimes there's the tendency. Sometimes there is just that humanity in all of us that begins to wonder, why am I facing these things? It seems like it's been a domino effect, one health problem right out to another. And why am I having to deal with this? And why am I having to go through this? And why am I having to face this? Amen. But I want to tell you, while you're in that wilderness, put your trust in God, because God is going to bring you out. And God, I don't care how you may feel and the pain that may rack your body and the questions you may have, God is still a healer. He's still the great physician. He is still able to deliver you from all manner of disease. There's not something that is outside of the sphere of God and the influence of God to work in. Whatever it is that you face, I don't know, medical science may not be able to help you, but He's able to help you. The doctor may wag His head and say, I've done all I can do, but God can do more, and God is able to heal and deliver and set free. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I think we ought to clap our hands again to the Lord and give Him praise. And there's nothing that describes a wilderness any more than family crises and family challenges and problems. Maybe marriage problems, difficulties there. Amen. It can cause you to feel like you're in a wilderness. Maybe it's more towards the emotions and the pain inwardly that you feel. The Bible, and I always marvel at this, when Jesus stood up in the synagogue to read, He said, I come to bind up the brokenhearted. And He said He come to heal them that are bruised. A bruise is an internal wound. It's not outward bleeding, but it's inward bleeding. It's damage on the inside. And sometimes we can paste on a smile and we can dress up our emotions and we can feign happiness. But I want to tell you today that God looks beyond all the exterior, and He's able to heal not just the outward, not just the exterior, not just the physical, but He's able to heal the mind, and He's able to heal the emotions, and He's able to heal the brokenness, and He's able to restore the joy in your life that you need Him to restore. He's able to put back into you the virtue that the enemy in life has sapped out of you over time. God is able to restore that all. He's able to bring completeness and fulfillment back to your life. Can you say praise the Lord that he is able to heal them that are bruised? Amen. Maybe there's somebody that's fighting and struggling in a wilderness of addiction. It's not something that you intended, but you fell into this state and you got into this place and you're saying, how can I crawl out? I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get there on your own. You're not going to get there with positive thinking. You can read all the books you want to read. You can get all of that figured out that you want to get figured out. You can take all the steps, but I'm going to tell you, when God steps in and helps us and strengthens us, he's the one that is able to deliver. I said he's the one that is able to sever the chains of addiction in a person's life. He's the one that is able to restore completely. Amen. He's the one that is able to let you stand back up on your feet. Amen. And feel like a man. Feel like a woman again. Feel like, amen, that I'm able to do this on. I'm able to face my problems without depending on something else to help me through my problems. But me and Jesus can make it through. I can face this with him by my side. I don't have to depend on alcohol, and I don't have to depend upon drugs, and I don't have to depend upon prescription pills. But I got Jesus to help me. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe that he's able to help you in your wilderness. He's able to give you a way out. But the only way is by trusting him. So this scripture setting that I read to you from here this morning is familiar to the majority, I'm sure, about how that God had given a promise to Abraham and Sarah that he would bring forth a son. He would give them a son in their elderly years, and through that son raise up a mighty nation. Now, we sometimes look narrowly upon Sarah for laughing, and Abraham for questioning at times the process of God. But can you imagine not only one son becoming an entire nation of people? That would be hard to get your mind around in and of itself. You're not going to have a lot of sons. You're going to have one son. And out of that, you're going to have a great nation. And I'm going to raise up my people through that. Not only that, but the fact that physically, at a point in their life when that was not possible, but nothing is impossible with God. And they thought that perhaps they could manipulate things and try their own plan because they got impatient. So I want to preach to Abraham here this morning. Abraham, maybe he thought about what God had said. And have you ever received a promise from God and then it wasn't immediately fulfilled in your life? And maybe you look back on that. Maybe you received a word from the Lord. Maybe a preacher whispered something in your ear. You heard something from the pulpit and God spoke directly to you. And then later you got to wonder, is how I took it how it was really meant? Has anybody ever felt like, come on, just be honest here this morning. I wonder, you know, I took it one way, but maybe he meant it another. Maybe he was thinking metaphorically. Maybe it was just a symbol or a sign, or maybe there was some kind of metaphor that is taking place here. But maybe I gotta manipulate things and I gotta do it my way to get this to come to pass. And it was through his impatience and his lack of trusting God and putting his faith in God. And not only that, there was voices in his life. Sarah began to talk to him and convince him that this was the right thing also. And sometimes when you're in a place where you are standing in faith and you feel all alone, the last thing that you need to do is listen to the wrong voices or listen to voices that are also questioning things themselves. You got to make sure that you're listening to the right voice. And I'm going to just tell you something. When God speaks to you, you need to hold on to that until he speaks again to you. And there may be an interval in between, but you just keep on staying steady. You keep on being faithful. You keep on walking with God, and He will give you the next direction that you need when you get to the point that you need it. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever used Google Maps or whatever on your phone, and you're driving and you think, well, Siri hadn't said anything for a while. I wonder if we're still going right. What I've found out is sometimes we get to thinking, well, it seems like to me by what I remember or driving through here before that we need to take a right turn here. And you take a right turn and Siri starts speaking. Then she'll say, to get back on your course, what you need to do is make a U-turn down here or go around the block or whatever it is to get back on course. I'm going to tell you, if God hadn't spoke to you, you don't need to take any turns. You just need to trust Him that He knows what's best for you and keep walking in faith and believing God and trusting in the Lord. Come on, somebody say praise the Lord this morning. Somebody lift up the name of Jesus this morning. And so He takes the bond woman, and a child is born. He steps out of covenant. He steps out in disobedience against God and His will. He gets out of the will of God, and now that compounds the problem. I'm going to tell you, anytime you get out of the will of God, it not only creates problems, but it puts problems on top of problems. It compounds problems because this was not something that just involved him anymore, but now he's got Hagar, and now he's got Ishmael. These mistakes are before him every day. Now this is something that is living in his own household, something that he has to deal with on a daily basis because he got out of covenant, because he started doubting God, because he stopped being obedient. He got out of the will of the Lord, and now he's faced with how to deal with the remnants of this getting out of covenant and stepping out of the will of the Lord. And so, Abraham, you're going to have to make some hard calls and hard choices and hard decisions. But if you'll trust in me, and if you'll put your faith back in me, I still am going to fulfill what I promised to you that I'm going to fulfill. I'm still going to do what I promised to you that I'm going to do. Amen. I'm still going to help you in the way that I told you originally that I'm going to help you. I've come to preach to Abraham. You may have made some mistakes, and it seems like that there's no way around it. It's there. You happen to live with it, and it's growing up in your own house, and it seems like it's a situation that you can't escape from. I just want to tell you today that God is able. If you'll depend upon Him and put your faith back in Him, He's able to show you a way. He's able to give you direction. He's able to bring peace back into the situation. And then I want to preach to Hagar. Hagar, this was something that happened to her that she was just being obedient to her master in. She was a bondwoman. She was a slave. But now she's left in a situation and she feels like that there's no hope for her, that Ishmael, her child, is beyond hope, and the situation is at such a desperate level that there's no way out. There's no way that her child is going to live or to survive. Can I tell you this morning that I perhaps may be preaching to somebody that you feel the same way? You feel like the situation is beyond hope. It's beyond any help. That it cannot be restored. That it cannot be rescued. That it's already too far gone, but God has a word for you. Amen. Just when she felt like all hope had dissipated, all hope was gone, she put the child in the shade of a shrub and she went a bow shot away and threw up her hands and said, I'm done. I went as far as I could go. The Bible said that the bottle of water that Abraham gave her had been spent. I just want to stop and say that you can only live on what man gives you for a certain amount of time, and then it's going to run out. It may be whatever man offers you can sustain you for a little while, now, but it is not going to last forever. Amen. What you've got to do is put your faith in what God places in your heart and what God is able to give you. Amen. And she said, it's all gone. All hope is gone. I don't know what to do or where to turn. And the Bible says that the Lord spoke to her. An angel out of heaven spoke to her and began to give her encouragement and say, I'm going to do great things. I am telling you that you're not beyond hope, Hagar. Your son is not beyond hope. I'm going to make a nation out of him also. I'm going to answer your prayers. I've heard the cry of your land. What you cannot see, I'm already working in. What you're not able, amen, to see through your limited amount of vision, I'm able to work in right now. It was at that moment that her eyes, the Bible says, were open, and she saw a well. She saw a well. Now, you think that well just appeared there? You think that well, God just created it all of a sudden? No, that well was there all the time. But she just didn't see it because circumstances had blinded her from it. Despair had blinded her from it. The troubles that she was in had blinded her from it. But God opened her eyes to be able to see that there really is hope, that there really is a way. Amen, that I really am going to take care of you. Can I preach to you that sometimes we feel like in our own limited vision, and often we get tunnel vision and we get in the certain circumstances of life and we feel like that we're shrouded by doubt and darkness is all around us, but God is going to illuminate some things to us and he's going to open our eyes to be able to see that he's working, to see that he's in the midst of all of this. Amen. No matter what the devil's tried to convince you of and what he's tried to lie to you and what kind of bill of goods he's tried to sell or push off on you, you need to realize, amen, that God really is in control. And if I can just have my eyes opened up, if God can just show me the way, hallelujah, if God will just reveal to me the path, I'll walk in it. I'll do what he wants me to do. God's going to open up somebody's eyes to be able to see that he is in control. And what about Ishmael? Born in the circumstance. He didn't have a choice in this. He didn't make any decisions in this. It wasn't something that he chose or decided, but this is what he ended up with. But it was God that heard the voice of the lad. And I don't see anything recorded where there was words articulated or anything said. But I'm going to tell you, God can hear what you don't say because God knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And God looks down and he sees our need. And maybe in his emaciated condition and his parched condition, he was lying there taking his last breaths. Maybe it was him that was so thirsty that he couldn't even croak out the words. But the Lord was able to hear the voice of the lad. I will tell you, God knows the inner cry of people's hearts. God knows what's going on in the inside of every person that is. He knows that one that's crying out to it. He knows that one that is calling out to it. He knows that search that is going on in your soul for more of God. He knows that you're praying and seeking the face of the Lord and crying out to God. He heard the voice of the lad. And there was a well, the Bible says, in the wilderness. Whew. A well in the wilderness. I'm going to tell you something. God is able to put a well in the midst of our wilderness experience. God is able to place something there that will encourage and lift and strengthen and give us faith and give us hope and restore joy. Amen. He is able to bring a well into that place where it seems like there is no possible way to go forward. God will give you exactly the refreshment that you need to carry on the journey, to go a little further. Amen. To make it where he wants you to go and to fulfill his will in your life. Isaiah prophesied about it. He said the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. He said in 35:3, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as the hart or the young deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams, not trickles, not drops, but streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and the highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man. Thou fool shalt not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go upon thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with the songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. He said the desert's going to blossom like a rose. He said there's going to be springing up streams and pools of water in the desert. I'm going to sustain my people, is what he's saying. There's going to be a well found in the wilderness. I'm going to take care of my own. I'm going to see to it that they not only survive, but they thrive in the wilderness. I am going to cause them to be blessed, even though the world is perishing around them. I'm going to raise them up and sustain them through the harshest of climates. I want to tell you, I'm not worried about what's happening in this world. We're children of God. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're his children. Amen. He's going to take care of his own. He's going to provide. He's going to protect. And he's going to bless. And he's going to multiply. Somebody needs to reach out in faith and say, I'll trust you for that word. I believe you for your promises. I'll stand on the scripture, the word of God, and know that you're going to take care of me. Somebody worship the Lord. Somebody give him praise right now. Stand to your feet. A well. There's always been a well in the wilderness. Matter of fact, if you read your Bible, you'll find that always when God got ready to use somebody, it seemed like, in many instances, he looked for a well. There's a lot of great things that happened around the well. Civilizations, villages, cities were built around a well. When God got ready to really use Isaac and to carry on what his father Abraham had started, he said, you got to go and redig the wells that your father had dug. When God got ready to give Isaac a bride, he sent the servant Eliezer to a well. It was there that Rebekah was found. I got a feeling that when the Lord comes back for his church, he's coming for those that are gathered. I said he's coming for those that are gathered around the well. Now, I'm not talking about a physical well, of course. I'm talking about where the Spirit is springing up. I'm talking about where the Holy Ghost is moving, where the Spirit of the Lord is flowing. And so, Isaiah, as you move into the New Testament and out of the old into the new covenant, Isaiah began to prophesy about it in verse or chapter 12 and verse 3, therefore with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. And then Jesus begins to identify really, really more about this well and what it is. He says in John chapter 4 and verse 14, as he's describing to that lady at Samaria and saying, this earthly well is what you've used to sustain you in this life, but I'm talking about a whole different source. I'm talking about something spiritual, lady. You drink of this, you're going to have to come back. You drink of this, you're going to have to get another drink. But he said, let me tell you about something that you can drink of and never thirst again. But the water that I shall give thee, I shall give him, shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What's he talking about? The scripture indicates that he was talking about the Holy Ghost that had not yet been poured out. But he's already talking about it. And he's already foretelling about it. About a well that is within us. A source that is within us. Amen. I want to preach to somebody, when you get the Holy Ghost, you got a life source on the inside of you that'll sustain you in this wilderness that we live in. Amen. A well that you don't have to go to the things of this world to try to find the satisfaction and the quenching to the thirst that is in your heart. Amen. But once you get this well that I'm talking about springing up from within the Holy Ghost, when you get this experience, it'll sustain you. It'll help you. It'll strengthen you. It'll give you power that you need to keep on going. It'll be to you the peace that you need in the midst of a storm. It'll be the strength that you need when the attack of the enemy is there. It'll be that ability to have joy when you're surrounded by a well that is filled with sorrow. I'm talking about a well that is within you springing up to everlasting life. Nobody knows what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about a well in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift up your hands to God right now and let's talk to him for a few moments. I'm getting ready to open up these altars. But before I do, I think somebody just needs to open up their heart to God. Let's talk to him. Come on, would you help me? Help me reach out to him. Help me talk to him for a few moments. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I need you, God. I need you, God, to help me today. I need your strength. I need your peace. I need your joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. A well, a well, a well. Does anybody want to tap into that source today? Does anybody want to take a drink from the well of living water where you'll never thirst again? Amen. This world's system of cisterns and trying to absorb as much as we can and get by on as much as we can through our own means and our own efforts. That's not what I'm talking about. He said, but I'm talking about living water, fresh water, that you'll never thirst ever again. Praise the Lord. Maybe it's been a long time since you've taken a drink. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been refreshed. I invite you to this altar today. Come on, let's come and gather around this altar. Let's find us a place before God. Would you come and gather in close and lift up your hands to him? Hallelujah. I invite everybody to come just in here real close and let's lift up our hands to the Lord and say, God, I need renewing. I need refreshing. I need you to touch me. I need you to help me today. God, I need you to put the joy back. I need you to put the peace back. I need you to put the virtue that the world has tried to diminish and tried to sap out of me and tried to, through circumstances and difficulties and challenges that I've faced, tried to ebb away from me. But God, I know you're able to restore. I know that you're able to make whole. Come on, reach out to heaven right now. Let's talk to the Lord. Come on, let's seek the face of God. Let's call on his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, church. You know how to pray and reach out to God. Let's seek the face of the Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on, my brother, reach out to him today. He's able to give a well and supply a life source in that desert wilderness that you're in. He's able to strengthen. He's able to make whole. He's able to give hope. He's able to make a way no matter where you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, sister, reach out to him. Call on him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I need you, Master. I need you, Master. I need you, Master. I hunger for you. I truly desire you. I thirst after you, dear God. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe you could pray one with another. Minister one with another. You have no idea what that individual may be facing, what they go through, the way that the devil tries to badger and beat up and beat down and discourage. But God is able, God is able, God is able. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. God, you're able. Oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.